So, I'm grateful to be here with each of you, and I think I'll just speak for a few minutes, and then I really would love to know how you are and what you're needing. You know, this practice of tuning the heart, you know, it is probably our most magnificent instrument. And our practice so much is about learning how to create beauty with this heart. And these qualities are some of the best, I think, for meeting difficult emotions and difficult moments. The stability of equanimity, you know, the capacity to be in the midst of what's happening, which we typically can't control. And I think events like this reveal how little we control in many ways. And equanimity is not a fixed point. You know, it's a little bit more. Some of you are old enough to remember Weebles. You remember Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Those weird little toys from childhood. And it's a little bit more like that. Equanimity is this. We do wobble. We get knocked around by life, but there is this sort of balancing point that we can come home to. And our practice doesn't keep us from you know, wobbling. It keeps us from falling down and staying down. It builds in a resiliency and a capacity to recover. And also a capacity to accompany ourselves. You know, for me, one of the things about grief is, one, it's not, you know, and grief may not be what you're feeling, but for me, grief we often use in a colloquial way, like it's a feeling. And grief is really more of an experience, a very complex, multifaceted experience that includes anger and sadness and confusion and numbness and sorrow and heartbreak and rage and, a myriad of behavioral manifestations and expressions from, you know, reaching out and wanting to connect, withdrawing and wanting to retreat, having a lot of energy, having no energy. So probably, you know, there's an element of shock. So my guess is if you're feeling something, what I'm going to say, whether you attach it to or put it under the umbrella of grief, doesn't really matter. It probably, what I'm offering, will apply in some way. And this experience, this grief, can't be figured out, fixed, changed, even comforted, I find. Grief typically can be accompanied. You know, we can walk beside our grief. It often is a visitor in our lives, and for many of us, it's a companion for long stretches of time. And whether it's here for a short time or an extended time, you know, we can walk beside it, and we can walk beside ourselves as the one that's experiencing this messy, emotionally charged very human expression of loss. And we can walk beside each other. You know, my hope is that you have companions, and maybe it's friends or family, or maybe it's members of this group, and we can sit and hold each other. Whether we openly share about grief or not, but to know that we are being companioned. And it is messy. You know, I love that Frances Weller says that grief is feral. I love that word. You know, his book, The Wild Edge of Sorrow, grief is wild. It's not neat. It's not predictable. And we don't have to tame it, but we can learn to love it and to love ourselves in the midst of it. And one of the ways of doing that, just to reference the practice that we did before we open up for some sharing, is through this practice of metta and compassion, kindness and compassion. And often those are so closely related. You know, and that wish for well-being and the wish for beings to be free from harm often intermingle, you know. And so we can tune the instrument to the heart by just connecting with the heart physically. So there's many pathways, you know, often metta or kindness practice is taught with phrases, and sometimes that works for people really well. Sometimes the words provide a nice anchor in the midst of something emotional or chaotic. Sometimes the words fall flat for people, especially in the midst of intense emotion. So the way we practice today was a more fluid, kind of felt sense radiating way to practice. And it can be accessed in different ways, just feeling the heart, a hand on the heart, breathing into and through the heart. Sometimes we enliven that connection through an image, calling to mind that easy place, that easeful place we connect with a sense of kindness or care or love. Or a single phrase. Sometimes I really simplify it down instead of the multiple phrases. So there might be one that really opens your heart. You know, for me, one of them is simply, oh, may all beings be well. You know, it's just this, and I just touch into it enough to start to feel my heart. And if I can, then for me, sometimes that imagery of warmth or of light is a way of working with kindness, that it's something, you know. Sometimes it's a little birthday candle inside of us. Sometimes it's a bonfire, you know. Sometimes it's in between. So it may be very robust, or it may be just barely accessible. But you know, whether it's a candle or a bonfire, you can light a birthday candle in a dark room and there's still light. So a little kindness goes a long way. And sometimes in dark times, that's all we have. So if this speaks to you, sometimes just the simplicity of like letting our kindness radiate. And I've heard it, you know, taught, and that, you know, it's just your job to sort of open the door of the heart. It's not your business how far the radiation goes, like how big it is, how far it's able to stretch. You're just there to like open the heart and then just see what happens. And there's some relief in that. You know, it's not about doing it right or doing it well. It's just showing up. So I think I'll pause there, and I'm going to ask you, would you